This program is part of those efforts, and it originally aired in Ganasadage on RKR, reviving Ganasadage Radio.
Booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Yeah. Bring a whole lot of,
bring a whole lot of,
a ton of bugs. There might be 50 of y'all, but there's a ton of us. Cold in the winter, ready for summer bug. Heavy season, with a ton of trucks. Yeah. A ton of bug. Bring a whole lot of, a ton of bug. Bring a whole lot of, a ton of bug. It might be 50 of y'all, but there's a ton of us. Bring another scale.
Bring it.
But it's too heavy. Bring another scale. A crump way too heavy. Bring another scale.
Damn.
It's too heavy.
Damn.
It's too heavy. My crump is way too heavy. Bring another scale.
Bring it.
It's too heavy. I said bring another scale.
Another one.
A crump is way too heavy. Bring another scale. This is too heavy. This is too heavy. Man, it's too heavy. Bring a whole lot of,
a lot of it.
A ton of bug. It might be 50 of y'all.
50 of y'all.
But there's a ton of us. Cold in the winter. Ready for summer bug.
Keep it cool, boy.
Heavy season.
Aragona and too many other names. May God judge you accordingly. Good luck with that one.
You see the beast are spraying. That's what I'm saying. They're not playing. Lies.
Kendrick Lamar on the track.
Shout out to email. What's that, homie?
We marching in the streets right now. Yeah.
See the money gone up and cock ready to drop. When it is in front of Jah. God.
Heaven help me. Heaven
help me.
We can't. Yeah. Feast your eyes, realize it's one. That the police are just people with guns. I mean people with funds and guns. Giving the power of blood to lick a shot into the streets and get your people to run, son. And when the cop dies, we all mortified. But when the cop kills, he don't need no alibi. I'm not saying that they should be flawless. I'm telling you the world is lawless because we got young knuckleheads, power dripping with their tools. And who they serving and protecting, brother? Not you, not you. Why you take them cars in Babylon? Cause them just agents of a system. Twist one up, get your fist up in the air. Diallo Bell and Villanueva, I say a prayer. I wonder, do they include all the police murders when they go and calculate the murder rate each year?
You see the beast are spraying, that's what I'm saying. They're not playing, lie,
they're necessary. When we first got together, I just wanted to talk. All I want from you is taking money out of raw. Your lies will beat me to the floor.
Violence.
It ain't your fists, it's your words.
Silence.
All in all, don't worry about me. Call and call won't blurry what I see. Camouflage, I see all that you can be. If you drop that bloody bread and fall on your knees, cause bam, by any means necessary. Bam, by any means necessary. Bam, by any means necessary. Watching bands stack tall, cause it's necessary. Bam, by any means necessary. Bam, by any means did you get that pay? By any means necessary. Watching bands stack tall, cause it's necessary. Every day, every night, let you make me cry. Never understood like I was the reason. So I creep in like in that TLC. Say I ain't but shit, friends come out high, they leave you sick. You seek, all in all, don't worry about me. Pass, fall, and fall, but won't flurry my dream.
Revenge best served, I want my heart back. Avenge more like you call it a heart attack. Babe, did you get that bag? By any means necessary. Watch them bend, sex, hold, cause it's necessary.
Hey, you're my man. Hey,
you're my man.
What you did to me won't be your plan. For you to mess with her, you see, I'm gonna shut you down before you teeth another crown. Posted that class, you know you could have been that Tiffany, Tiffany's her.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's the first Tuesday evening of the new year. Welcome one, welcome all. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Our first guest for the new year is no stranger to Soul P, no stranger to the airwaves, to the microphone, my brother Svens Telemach. Svens ranks as one of the most prone speakers touching youth empowerment to date. After multiple arrests and various feats with death, he abandoned familiarity and a life of drug trafficking to start anew. Since relocating in Montreal to Montreal in 2007, Svens has co-founded L'Arcella, a poetry collective which provides a platform for writers and arm listeners with hope. In 2014, he released his first book entitled Pen for a Ready Writer, Volume 1, and has been featured on CBC, Global News, Breakfast Television, and other major networks. As a social entrepreneur, Svens has been recognized as a regional finalist for Startup Canada and awarded the Community Leadership Award from Montreal Community Cares, amongst other honors. Svens has empowered thousands of youth through his youth empowerment tour across the U.S., Canada, the Caribbean, and Africa. His compelling story does not idolize a troublesome past, but reminds us that even broken crayons still color. Svens, thank you so much, brother, for being here with us this evening. How are you doing?
Man, I'm blessed to be with you, Kim, and thank you so much for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Yeah. First Tuesday of the year, you know, so we got to get it started right. Got to get it started right. We are still in this pandemic situation. And, you know, how have you been? How have you been dealing with this? Because you do a lot of different things. I mean, you didn't put everything into your bio, but you're also in the military. You do a lot of volunteer work. You work with different organizations. You were working with, forgive me if I'm wrong, one of the churches down in Little Burgundy, and you were helping with food distribution and stuff like that. So you're not a man who wears just one hat. You wear multiple hats. How have you been managing with this pandemic?
Man, how do I explain? I mean, you know how people say that we're all we're all on the same boat, or we're all in the same storm, but not on the same boat.
Right.
That's exactly how I see it, because, you know, military wise, when the pandemic started, I lost one of my jobs. Like you said, I wear many hats. I lost one of them. They actually shut down.
Right.
You follow me? They completely shut down in the beginning of the 2019. But the military gave me a contract to work in the retirement homes.
Okay.
And when I was working in the retirement homes, man, that really changed my whole perspective, my whole perspective on life.
Right.
You follow me? Because I'm in these retirement homes. Basically, I'm a PAB, you could say.
And what's that?
And yeah.
What's a PAB?
I was at two places. I was at one in LaSalle.
Okay.
Called Floralie.
Okay.
In LaSalle.
Okay.
And then I did Floralie Lachine.
Okay. But what's a PAB?
PAB is basically like an orderly, or I don't know what the acronym stands for, but it's the people that would work with people, you know, clean them up.
Okay.
Make sure they're fed and all that type of stuff.
You're like a kind of personal assistant for.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Personal assistant. So we were doing that for a couple months, and it got me to see life in a different way, because you see people that were like super rich in a small room, nothing. And it also taught me that there's not as much boundaries between us that we think.
Right.
For example, like, I don't know why, but I was always coming across women that were in their 90s.
Okay.
And when I would come across some of these women, some of them, all they could do is basically be flipped from one side to the next. They could no longer speak.
Wow.
And I just remember the power of music, man.
Right.
You know, really weird. I would play, what's the name of that song? Edith Piaf.
Okay.
There's a song from Edith Piaf. Which one is it? Everyone knows that song in French. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm going to find it real quick because you're going to see what I mean. But Edith Piaf, what's the song? La Vie en Rose. There we go.
Okay, yeah.
La Vie en Rose. So whenever I would play that song for these women, they would start singing.
Mm.
Bedridden, they would start singing. Their lips would start moving. You could find death in their eyes. It was just like beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and sad at the same time. It was like a bittersweet, you know, and it just got me to realize, like, you know, from my perspective, at least from my soul perspective, at least,
right.
I realized right. that the worst thing in the pandemic for these people weren't really COVID-19. It was to be isolated.
Yes.
A lot of these people, man, like, some of their family don't even come and see them, right? So all they have is each other. So for them to be isolated in their room 24/7 and be told you can't come outside.
Wow.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And you know what? You said you say this, and I just want to say this. Like one of my, you know, people I would consider a mentor, big brother. One of my friends, GP, he told me something the other day about COVID, and he changed my perspective too.
Right.
You know what he told me? He told me, you know, and he gave me something that was just really off the wall. Like, I would have never made this comparison. He was talking about Batman.
Okay.
He was like, yo, you remember Batman when the Joker basically is threatening the mayor? And because he threatens the mayor, all the security is on the mayor. All the police is worried about the mayor being alive.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the Joker is robbing all of these banks.
Okay.
Because there's less security.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that the Joker got on the radio or TV or something. And he was like, you guys are fools. So you guys only care about one man. What about everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
You follow me, right? And you can see just how much Joker was a lunatic. And, he was saying that it's funny how the government is trying to make it seem like they could control something.
Mm-hmm.
But in trying to control something, they're doing something wrong.
Right.
They're taking away the rights of so many other people to try to contain something that they cannot contain.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So people could have a different view on that. I'm not here for no vaccine, with whatever. I don't really care. But at the very end of the day, they're trying to control something that they obviously can't.
Yeah, they have no control over it.
I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's oh man, that's a heavy topic. I want to actually bring in like two real medical experts, one that's mm-hmm. for and one that's against, to talk about this, because you know this is something that our entire world is completely divided about, right? Like taking mm-hmm. the vaccine or not taking the vaccine. But yeah, it's one of those really troublesome topics. But so you got a contract with the military. I think this was before COVID-19 had hit that you got this contract.
Right. No, in the middle of it.
In the middle of it. Okay.
Yeah, when all of the retirement homes are like being overwhelmed.
Right.
And the military had to step in. So like right around there.
Mm. Okay. Oh, so the military stepped in order to support.
Yeah.
That's in Quebec interesting.
And Ontario. Yeah, in Quebec and Ontario.
That's interesting. I never would have thought that the military would have been used that way.
Oh, yeah. They use them for that. Use us when there's like fires. Use us when there's flooding. You follow me?
Wow. That's mm-hmm. that's interesting. That's not normally what you hear about the military.
That's the first time we did something like that. So it's weird because they train you to do the complete opposite, right?
Right. They train you to end lives and to like defend the country.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always paradoxical, but this is really in defense of lives, if you think about it. That's
oh, yeah.
the real defense of lives.
I'm telling you, man, like, it really, there were so many different emotions, man. I remember at times we were just really angry
mm-hmm.
because we came in to support, so we came in fresh, right?
Right.
And I remember one time I had one lady, man. This lady, she would just be confined to her wheelchair, always screaming, asking somebody to take her out of her chair.
Right.
I'm like, what's going on? And like, she can't walk.
Right.
We would eat with this lady every single day. Like, really eat with the person. We're not in a rush stuffing food down your throat. We're like, sit down, listen to you, talk to you, what's going on, you know, ask her about her family, where she's from, blase, blase. 1 week later, I see her in the bathroom standing, cutting her hair, like, oh, I want a new hairstyle.
Wow.
And they told me she couldn't walk. So you got good people in that profession the same way you have bad people in that profession. But, you know, it, and the way you treat people, too, it just taught me, like, I feel like a retirement home is like a moral. It could be a horror movie.
Right.
You feel me? Yeah. Inside of there, because it's like, I don't know, man, the way you treat people, man, it's something. You follow me? The way you treat people, man, like, it inspired me in so many ways, man. Like, the way you treat people. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the way you treat people, man. Like, especially people you feel like can't do anything for you, reveal so much about your character.
Woo! Yeah. That's actually a very important point. Like, there are memes going around and different motivational speakers. They're always saying that if you want to know the measure of a person, look at how they treat someone who can do nothing for them.
Mm-hmm. Or who they think can do nothing for them.
Nail on the head. Because and you know, funny enough, as you say that, I'm thinking about when I was a kid, right? And even if I didn't like somebody, say I meet someone in school, I didn't really like them or whatever, what have you, I always had in the back of my head, do not mess with this person because you do not know where they will be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times have we heard the story of someone who bullied someone, someone who mistreated someone, only to an hour on, a day later, 2 years later, find out that that person is the person that they're going to for a job, or that person is the person that is doing their surgery, their life-saving surgery, or, you know, some other thing. And it's like, you got to treat people with respect. And even these elderly folks, you don't know what their network is. You don't know who they're connected to on the outside. Oh, God, as I'm saying this, like, I'm remembering, I watched this movie called I Care a Lot that came out on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And so this woman goes and finds elderly people. And then in cahoots with a doctor, she collaborates it so that it seems like the elderly person can no longer take care of themselves, and puts them in a home, sells off the elderly person's house, takes control of all of their assets, their funds, and everything like that. This is a movie, but then she hits the wrong one. She hits the wrong woman who had connections to, I don't want to spoil the movie, but has the proper connections to, like, make life extremely difficult. And so they're just taking you through this whole very, very difficult situation for this con artist, you know?
Wow, I need to see that.
But it's just to kind of amplify the fact that you need to treat people with kindness. Like, whoever they are, just treat them kindly. I mean, even as much as I try to do that, I still need to, like, continuously remind myself, you can't treat people like they're nothing or like they're crap.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if it's going to come back to bite you.
Oh, yeah. For sure,
Jeez,
man.
I'm bread. Yo, thank you for that. So how has thing been? So obviously I'll just ask you, have you been able to do any public speaking and in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, like, I mean, after this, you know, this whole Omicron, whatever, however you pronounce it, before that, you know, I was going into schools, you know, doing my thing, going into the Maison des Jeunes, like youth homes and stuff like that.
Okay.
And, you know, doing it through Zoom, but I really don't like doing it through Zoom.
Yeah, of course.
Because at a certain point, they get Zoomed out. But at the same time, it's a challenge for speakers and facilitators to step your game up.
Yep.
When it comes to Zoom and finding creative ways to not be dry online.
Yep.
So that's one thing. Still been able to do it. Got a lot of stuff coming up for February. Of course. You know, Black History Month and everything else. You know, the of course.
I know the drill.
Yeah, but really, in that regard, 2019, like in the middle of the pandemic, it was very slow, of course. And then when they kind of like got more control of it, I was able to do a lot on Zoom.
Okay.
Like wellness writing workshops and stuff like that to help students to express themselves, because they're seeing a lot of things too. And that's something that's not being really spoken about. Yeah. You know, like you see all this femicide. Like a lot of these kids, they're home and they're stuck with parents that sometimes are toxic or upset. And
And they don't necessarily see it while they're in school, you know.
But
at home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's only so much you can hide from the kids.
If
the parent is trying to hide it.
Exactly.
Wow.
And like you mentioned, at Union United Church, the food bank over there, we've surged when it comes to participants, right? People coming in for food because obviously a lot of people are in tighter situations, right? So right now, as we speak, we're doing like anywhere between 85 to 100 people a week.
Wow.
Yeah, on Tuesdays. You follow me? So
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking to Svens Telemach, who is an author, a speaker, a spoken word artist, and much, much more. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked, because you are tuned in to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Coming so I live to see another day. All I think about if I was just to run away, would I come back to love you? No. I don't want to change the world. I only want to stop pretending. What you say?
That's what she wants. It's all up in the club. Shorty wanna touch her body. She wanna show her body. Shorty wanna touch her body. Show me.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Yes, 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 we're back once again. Happy New Year. Can't say it enough. I think I'm going to be saying it all month. Happy New Year. Because I want everybody to have a Happy New Year. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time this evening, you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I am joined here this evening with Svens Telemach, who is an author, a speaker, a spoken word artist, a military man. He works with Union United Church, with their food bank. He also, in his bio, he finishes with "broken crayon still color." But when you're listening to the bio, you don't see that it's actually italicized, put in quotations, and bolded. So "broken crayon still color" is really, really significant in Svens's work, at least his most recent work. Svens, thank you for being here once again.
Oh, man, it's more than a blessing, man. That connection is long-lasting, man, between you and I, so you already know.
Dates back to 2011, brother, so, yes. You know, this year is going to be 12 years, right?
Yeah.
11 years. Mm-hmm. "Broken Crayon Still Color." I mm-hmm. know a little bit about what that's about. You obviously know, since you coined that term. But could you tell our listeners a little bit about what that is? Because it's not just a saying. Like, there's a whole philosophy behind it, and you've kind of created a career around this expression.
Right. Just to be, clear, I didn't coin the term.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I didn't coin the term. I don't even know who did. I know that, what's his name? Rehab Time.
Okay.
Trent Shelton, there you go. Trent Shelton says it a lot as well. For me, one of my friends at the time, she posted that quote, "broken crayon still color." And, you know, as poets, we see so much depth. We see so many, you know what I mean? Yeah. So many layers.
Yeah.
I see the quote and it just took me away. Mm. And, you know, to break down "broken crayon still color" to someone that here's the quote, and it's like, wow, that's a nice quote. I look at it like this. When you have a box of, you know, Crayola crayons or whatnot,
yeah,
they all look perfect. And I think about the average cycle of a human in North America, human mm-hmm. being in North America, yeah, or other countries for that matter. You know, you might start off in a nice family, and they don't call you Kim.
Right.
They come up with some nickname for you that shows their appreciation Pusha. And their love. That's it. They call Sweetie you Tipusho. You know what I mean? And you go around feeling great because you're Tipusho. Uh-huh. Tipusho means you have identity. Uh-huh. Tipusho means you have purpose. Uh-huh. Tipusho means you have place. And then they dress you up one day and they drop you off in an institution. And when you get to this institution, it's not a chorus of people calling you Tipusho.
No.
It's people actually ripping around the coding that you've been protected with in the identity of Tipusho. You're no longer Tipusho.
Right. Now I'm Kim Dominique Ferguson.
Not even. Now you're fat. Now you're Ooh. Short. Now you're queer. Now you're this. Now you're that. Now you're, you're chocolate babe. Like, you get what I mean? They might call you the N-word.
Nappy headed.
Yeah, they call you all of these different things. They look at you and they tell you, ah, man, you don't got no Nikes on. You don't got no Jordans. You don't got this. You don't got that. So now they ripped at this label that you were coded in the same way you have a color like Tickle Me Pink. Right. And once you take that label off, you don't know what kind of pink it is. It's pink. Which one is it?
Right.
You feel me?
Don't know.
So now identity is gone. You go through things like the divorce of your parents. You go through things like molestation. You go through all of these different things that break you.
Yep.
So now in comparison, you feel like everybody else is like a perfect neat crayon, but you're broken and you don't know your identity. So you don't know where you belong. Because I mentioned space before. So am I supposed to be coloring the sky in this picture?
Right.
Am I supposed to be coloring the ocean in this picture? What am I? And I took it a step further and I broke it down. Because when you have a pack of crayons, you have 8 colors, right? The basic pack.
Basic pack, yeah.
Yeah, so blue, the blueprint. What created you? Mm-hmm. What was the environment? What was the conditioning and all of this other stuff that created the person that you are?
Right.
The blueprint, Jay-Z as well. Mm-hmm. And then moving forward, I think about the ego. For me, I could be wrong, but in my perspective, in my soul perspective, I'm going to keep saying that. Yeah. I feel like the ego is like our costume to face the world.
Yeah, that makes sense. The mask that we wear in order to protect ourselves, in order to keep safe, in order to present to the world. Yes.
Exactly.
Instagram, essentially.
That's it. There you go. So like the ego would be orange. It's a big O. It's a zero.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the ego for me, I got this from Wayne Dwyer. Wayne Dwyer had six like definitions to it. I just stuck with the first three, which is ego is when you value yourself based on what you have, what you do, and what people think about you.
Right.
As long as your value comes from those three things, you are doomed. Right. Because that means when you don't have whatever it is that you feel like you need, you have no value.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have the best reputation because you made a mistake and people with the cancel culture, they just put you down.
Right.
You're doomed.
Right.
When your purpose, your identity or your value is wrapped up in what you do and that's gone, well, guess what? You're doomed.
Gone. Done.
Yeah. And that is ego right there. That's orange. And then moving forward, we go to brown, which is brokenness. Getting, people to talk about what broke them. And, you know, I just did this not too long ago with McGill, you know, at McGill University. This is not just something for kids. And if you go on YouTube and you look up McGill SCS and you look up Broken Crayons to Color, you could look at a session and how that looks. But, you know, when we go into brown, we get them to open up about what broke them because everyone is broken and brokenness is a beautiful thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not the question of what broke you. It's what you're doing with the brokenness.
Right.
And sometimes people like to keep, all of this brokenness hidden and out of view. But it manifests, man, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
And, before I go anywhere else, there's a poem by a good friend of mine, Ashley Thompson. She wrote a poem. And you know what she says in the poem? She says, "I may be broken, but I shot it beautifully."
Ooh.
You feel me? You feel that in your soul.
Okay.
Right?
Say that again one more time.
Yeah, I may be broken, but I shot it beautifully.
That's a poet right there.
Oh, no, if you hear her poem, brother, like it's next level. You know what I mean? And, moving forward, after you go through brokenness, we go to the color green.
Let me just stop you a second. Because what you said about brokenness and beauty just kind of hit me, and I had to look up really quickly what the Japanese do.
Yeah,
because I love that you said that, because the Japanese, I believe it's I'm looking it up. It's called kintsugi, also known as kintsukuroi. Yes, kintsukuroi is the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery by mending the areas of breakage with lacquer dusted or mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum.
That's beautiful.
So, like, within brokenness, you said it. You said it yourself. You said it perfectly. Within brokenness, there is beauty. And, like, so I don't even know what to say. Like, you know when you just get something and it just hits you and you're just like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Sorry.
To go build off what you're saying, essentially it's like, yeah, you're broken, but what you filling that gap with?
Are you filling it with gold?
Yeah, platinum and all of these like rich,
precious
metals. You know what I mean? What are you filling that gap with? Yeah, your parents got divorced. What do you fill that gap with? You filling it with alcohol?
Right.
Inadvertently, you don't even know that's what you did?
Mm.
Man, brother, I remember and I'll never forget. You know, I came across someone. I know I'm going off a tangent, but that's cool. Don't worry,
we got the time for it.
Yeah, I'm coming off a tangent because something else that I do is I help people publish books. You follow me?
Yeah.
It's one of my greatest passions because I love to see other people, you know, come out. And I remember I came across this beautiful woman and we were working on her book. And while we were working on her book, she told me that she had a challenge when it came to eating soap.
Okay.
Yeah, and she was in her 30s, and I'm like, what you mean you eat soap? Like, you're addicted to it. She's like, well, you know, ever since I was young, I was always eating soap. When we go back into her story, we realize that she didn't even realize how the addiction started, huh?
Right.
Because of selective amnesia, you know, when you try not to remember things.
Oh, no, you shut it down.
She told me. She told me, like, look, I went through a situation with a family member and they had me do something. And the first thing that my 8-year-old mind thought
to was wash to mouth
wash my mouth with soap. And I felt like if I ate soap, I would be clean.
Wow.
And that's how that addiction started. Like, but when you take the time to look at that brokenness now, you follow me, you can fill it with gold.
Right.
You can fill it with gold. You can use that as a way to advocacy. You can use that as a, you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you see, that brings me to green, and then we'll go to purple. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to green, I think about gangrene.
Okay.
Because there's a big lie, and that lie tells you that time heals all wounds. That's one of the biggest lies, bro.
Right.
Time to heal wounds, bro. Because if you do not treat those wounds, time will be an agent of infection.
Woo! Okay.
You feel me, right?
All right. Wait, you got to say that again. Because too many people say time heals all. Like, and we're not only talking about physical infections, right?
Yeah.
Because when you suffer a broken heart, time doesn't heal that. You know, like, you have to make sure that you take certain steps in order to be better. Because if you don't heal your broken heart, regardless of how long it takes, you can in turn become a very dangerous person.
Oh yeah.
To your friends, to your family. You know, so please just say that again about time. Tell the people them again, please.
Yeah. Time does not heal all wounds.
Mm.
When wounds are left untreated, time becomes an agent of infection.
Woo. You heard it here first or second. All right.
But yeah.
So gangrene for green. I was not expecting that. I was expecting green to be like life, to be like trees. But no, green is the gangrene. All right. That's a different perspective. That's a different soul perspective to have.
Yeah.
All right.
And you see, that was taught to me, you know, through volunteering in prison. I remember I came across someone that was doing 25 to life.
Mm-hmm.
No, really did some horrendous things, right?
Right.
And, you know, this guy, they always said that he was rigid. And this is a very big problem. Something else that I do, I work with DESTA.
Okay,
and we work on a reentry program to help, you know, people that are either incarcerated or just been released, help them just go through that process. You follow them, we give them support in any way possible, right?
Yeah.
And when I speak to this man and he starts to open up after 3 months, we're working with each other for 3 months. I'm seeing him every week. We spend like 3 hours every time we link up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he starts to break down. And he taught me the principle of liquidation, man.
Okay.
And gangrene makes me think about liquidation in the sense that, you know, right now, I don't know what kind of phone you got, but let's say you had an iPhone. Right now, if we go try to buy an iPhone 7, I don't think you'll be able to get it at Telus or Rogers or whatever phone company.
Right.
They'll probably throw you an iPhone 7 for free. They're like, just sign this 2-year contract.
Yeah.
You probably could get an iPhone 10 if you take a 2-year contract and not pay a dollar.
Right.
You know why?
Because they have your contract.
Because they need space, man.
Mm-hmm.
You see, stores, they teach us the principle about liquidation, and it's all about space. Walmart, Super C, IGA, all of these stores don't got no time for your BS, man.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see stuff is stocked up on the shelves collecting dust, get rid of it.
Right.
Get rid of it. Put it down to 75 cents if we have to. Get rid of it.
Right.
But as people, the problem that we have, we stock up so much stuff in our soul, man. And we don't understand to liquidate the fact that, you know what? My dad slapped me, or my mom did this, or my dad was never in my life, or da-da-da-da-da. And we come up with all of these things, and we stock that up. And because you have no space for new stuff, guess what? You outdated, man. You outdated and dust.
And it all spoils.
Yeah, spoiled, rotten.
And in the spoilage, you become gangrenous.
Yeah, and now, what is gangrene? Gangrene is like you leave something untreated, and then at one point, it falls off. You said something earlier. A lot of people have gangrene of the soul, man. So, like this... these issues, you follow me, just been staying there for so long. It gets to the point where there's no more circulation in that area, man. And that's why people do crazy stuff sometimes. It's because they've never been healed. They've never taken the time to deal with these issues. So these issues deal with them.
Jeez on bread. Okay. Wow.
So that's gangrene. So that's why you have to liquidate. You got to liquidate. You got to liquidate. And you're not liquidating for the other person.
No.
Liquidating for yourself. Yeah. You know, yo, like through the society that we're in right now, we go through so much difficult things. Follow me. Marriage, separation, divorce, children issues. Like, all of these issues, all of these things that so are so attached to the heart can bring out the worst in us, right?
Yeah.
But we got to learn to liquidate. So you could have space for new stuff. You get what I mean? Different memories, you know? Charge it to the game. You know what I mean? Charge it to the game. Let it go.
Make space for the new.
Make space for the new. We're in a new year. Make space for the new. Liquidate 2021. Liquidate the mistakes that you went through. And give, you know, write it off, man. You know, like when you drive around Montreal and you see these fake businesses. And it's like the name of the business is Fayit. 70% off. You know what I mean?
Oh my god. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
all these businesses like en faillite, big sale.
Yeah.
Last sale, and then 2 years later it's still en faillite, big sale, and you're like, wait, what?
What exactly. Do you mean? You know why they do that? Because that gets people to react, because people feel like they're gonna get a deal. Well, if you're listening to this message right now, how about you give yourself a deal? How about you let people know that, you know what? I will go through this bankruptcy. I will let my heart go through bankruptcy to just get rid of everything. Even if it's going to take me 7 years together to get my credit back for myself.
Right.
Do what you need to do, man. Just let yourself go. And that's green. Now we go into the color purple.
Okay.
Purple, simple. There is purpose in your pain.
Okay, something good.
Something good.
Right.
There is purpose in your pain. And the best way that I could describe it is through Viktor Frankl. You know, Viktor Frankl and, you know, the Holocaust and all of these things. When I lost my mom, you feel me? I lost my mom in 2018. And you know what I found out when I lost my mom? I found out that her dad, I always knew her dad was white, but I found out that her dad was Jewish.
Okay.
I would have never known me. You know, this is how it is in Caribbean families. Like, you just don't know until you know.
They don't tell you till they need to tell you.
Yeah. And I'm reading this book from Viktor Frankl, which is called Man's Search for Meaning. And why I connect with this man so much is simply because the way he would deal with depression, man.
Okay.
You know how he would treat certain patients with depression?
Tell me about
it. He would tell them, you know what? Why don't you volunteer at the children's hospital? Guess what? Depression go away.
Yeah.
Why? Because people have a reason to wake up. They feel like they serve a purpose. They feel like they have an identity.
Yeah.
You see, role, identity, all of these things. You know something else? I'm going to just go on another tangent.
Let me pause. And because what's interesting is, like, one of the things for me has been being in service for others brings me, like, the highest joy.
Right.
Right? And being in service of others is different for everybody. For me, that moment began on February 11, 2011. Bad News Brown was murdered. And And 2 days later, well, 1 day later, I had to put on a show that had that that felt so out of place, but I didn't have a choice. It was my erotic poetry show. And March, April, 2 months later, I started the Mad Poetics open mic. And what happened is my partner at the time asked me, because, you know, everybody started putting up video of Bad News Brown, putting up, you know, his music, putting up pictures, putting the pictures in the profile. She asked me, why do you wait until someone is gone in before honoring them? And I was like, wow, that hit. And for me, it was like, how can I be of service to the Montreal artists who are our big artists now, and the Montreal artists who are working and need a space to present themselves? And during the entire time that I was being of service by producing these shows, those shows were the highlight of my months. Like, it brought me the highest amount of joy. And so, like, I totally understand, you know, when you live a life of service to someone else, and service without a desire to reap a reward for the income, because the reward will come.
Yeah.
You know, when I see folks like you who come back to me and say, yo, you know, you opened the door for me. And sometimes I'm like, what do you mean I opened the door? Like, to me, y'all were already at a certain level, and I just so happened to have a stage that you were able to go on. You know,
I developed. Let me stop you right there, man. I developed on that stage. Mm. And a lot of people develop on that stage, and if you weren't there, you know what I mean? That probably would have been a different process, bro. Mm.
But I'm just, it's just, for me, it's just like, I was just being of service. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to think twice about it. It's like, I need to find a stage for people, because people obviously need a stage to say what they want to say, you know. Right. And to me, that really impacts. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
It's flowing, all flowing.
Find your purpose, purple. Yeah. Find your purpose. Be of service to others.
Yeah, and you see, a lot of people, even in their 30s, their 40s, their 20s. You know, they find themselves confused and they get depressed because they feel like, I don't know what's my passion. I don't know what's my purpose. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Two things that I'll say on that. Everyone's purpose is the same. Mm. Like, if you want me to give you the answer to your purpose, I could literally tell you your purpose right now. I can give you 50% of that answer, and the other 50, I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
So 50% of the answer is this. Everyone's purpose is the same. Your purpose is to serve other people.
Right.
You look at any profession, whether it's a service or a product, you are serving people.
Yes.
100%. In some kind of capacity.
Yes.
The other part of the answer to the question to your purpose is, how is it that when you serve, you feel like you're serving yourself?
Mm. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, we got truths. We got bombs being dropped all over the place right now, but we do have to take a quick break. We can't just keep running the time. We have to slow it down, play a little bit of music, play some ads, pay some bills, keep it locked. We're gonna get into it, get into more of the colors of the crayons right after this. You are listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Every time I pull up, better let out, it's a spectacle. Heard the shit was jumping like the water board in Mexico. This the only time we on time and on schedule. Collars on the shirt, niggas trying to live respectable. Then I spot her with the fur and nice like an Eskimo. Stretching out my cash, so I'm hoping that she flexible. Shawty swinging purses, and niggas swinging testicles. Eating fast food, but we smoking on the vegetable. She looking, man, she looking, man. Go hook a man, go hook a man. And a lame tryna holler, he a Bond wannabe. He a Roger Moore nigga, I'm a Sean Connery. I know. Now you looking at a man that's on a mission. Blindsided cause your man don't got no vision. Enemies tryna pack us into prison. Or we gon' pack up in that old Honda Civic.
Yeah, yeah, I'm hunting or pray. Yeah, yeah, why they looking at the waves? Yeah, yeah, y'all can bring it our way. Yeah, yeah, but all I know you won't.
My leather black jeans on, my by any means on, partin' I'm getting my scream on, end of the kingdom, but watch what you bring home, you see a black man with a white woman at the top floor, they gon' come to kill King Kong, middle America packed in, came to see me in my black skin, number one question they asking, fucking be question you asking, if I don't get ran at my Catholics, it comes to conservative Baptists, claiming I'm overreacting, like the black kids in Chirac, bitch, 4 in the morning, and I'm zoning, they say I'm possessed, it's the omen, I keep it 300, like the Romans, 300 bitches, we're the Trojans, baby we living, in the moment, I've been a menace, for the longest, but I ain't finished, I'm devoted, and you know it, and you know it, so follow me, y'all, cause this shit about to go, I'm doing 500, I'm out of control, but there's nowhere to go, and there's no way to slow,
say cause shame, we matter though. Fuck your shame, we still matter, oh. Fuck your shame, we matter though. Standing up for kings, black lives matter though.
We be protecting our kings, yeah, we be out here protecting the kings, huh? We be protecting our kings, yeah, we be out here protecting the kings. Black Panther, that's black vibes. Black Panther got black wives. Black Panther got black ties. Black Panther, we black rising. We be protecting our kings. Yeah, we be out here protecting the king. We be protecting our kings. Yeah, we be out here protecting the king. Black Panther, that's black vibes. Black Panther got black wives. Black Panther got black ties. Black Panther, we black rising. King with the Q, queen with the K. Whatever your preference, just black name.
Black, 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 black,
black out the coupe, hop out the roof when I run into you. Thoughts black as the dark side of the moon. Won't be no truce, won't be no truce. At your funeral in an all black suit. Couple white girls rocking all black too. Me and man marching on all black boots. Call up the troops, call up the troops. Punch you in the mouth, then knock out your tooth. I can tell when they not telling the truth. Talking that shit, nigga, what you gon' do? What you gon' do? What you gon' do? Back and I'm black and I'm acting brand new. Niggas in the back like, oh word. Diamonds all black like, fuck what you heard. Fuck what you heard. Fuck what you heard. Spilling some Hennessy black on the curb. Just for the memory of the deceased. When I black out, I've awakened the beast. What it's gon' be? What it's gon' be? You don't wanna fuck with a nigga like me. Bet you never seen motherfuckers so black. Nigga, I'm black on black on black on black on black.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back once again. If you're tuning in for the first time, like, I don't know where you've been, you're gonna have to listen to the archives because my guest this evening has dropped, like, all of the truth and all of the mental bombs that you need in order to, like, become a better human being. This is Soul Perspectives. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Sven Stelemach, who is a spoken word artist, a speaker, and author. And before the break, we were talking about Broken Crayon Still Color, which is a project that he's been doing. And he was breaking down each color in the box of an 8-pack of crayons. And I don't think I'm going to remember all the crayons, but we went through green, we went through blue, went to brown, we went to purple. Did we touch any more?
Orange, yeah. And we did orange.
We're at purple right now, and purple symbolizes your purpose. What is your purpose? And before we went to the break, he said, you know, he could tell you what your two purposes are. 50% is to be in service of others, and the other 50% is to find out within yourself how does being in service of others make you happy. And happiness can take all kinds of forms, from just, like, personal joy and a big smile to, like, making that back. You know? But, yes, tell us some more about these colors.
Yes. So when it comes to purpose represents the purpose in your pain. Often when we get hurt as kids or even as adults, when you get hurt and you get hit, you'll see, like, you'll have, like, a wound and it's blue or purple. It has that violet color, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's purpose in there. And sometimes we might ask ourselves, like, how could there be purpose in a situation that I've been through or hurt that I've been exposed to or whatever? Mm-hmm. Well, there's purpose in it. You just got to dig deeper than the pain.
Right.
Follow me, because the purpose in pain is to make sure that someone else doesn't go through that pain.
Right.
the purpose in pain is for you to switch it around and try to draw the good out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me, exploiting your pain. And that's something else that we could go on.
Also so that you don't pass it on to someone else.
Exactly. But you got to pimp it. You follow me?
Okay.
What does
that mean?
I'm going to explain.
One
time I was, extra in movies or whatnot. You know what I mean? I know when you feel me, Kim, when I tell you, like, when you're trying to do your thing, you got to have all these little sides.
Yep.
So you could be free to do what you love, right? And I was a movie extra. And I meet this woman in a parking lot. And I see her. God bless her soul. She's passed away. And I see her. And she just looking at me. She's like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And I start talking to her. And she starts talking to me. We go inside. We sit next to each other. And she was going through a very bad breakup.
Right.
So I asked her a very weird question that you never ask somebody the first time you meet them. I said, hey, would you let me pimp you? And then she looked at me weird, like,
what does that mean?
What do you mean, let you pimp me? I'm like, would you be somebody's whore?
Okay.
And you know, that sounds even worse.
Right.
You get what I mean?
Right.
She looked at me like, no, like,
okay.
And then I was like, well, if you wouldn't, why?
Okay.
Man, I love myself. I respect myself. I value myself. Why would I do something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why are you letting your pain make you a whore?
Woo!
Why are you letting your pain exploit you?
Mm-hmm.
You should be exploiting it. You know, Maya Angelou, what did she say? You know, you can be angry, but write it, dance it, draw it, express it. Do everything that you can. Give it a voice. And sometimes voicing it is not necessarily writing or speaking. Mm-hmm. You got to give that anger a channel. You got to give that sadness a channel.
Right.
You follow me? Just don't let the thing break you down, tie you up in your house, and hope and have your peace held hostage.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Yeah, you went through something, but now pimp it.
Mm.
You know, and a beautiful example is like when you think about the previous mayor of Toronto. I think his name was Gary Ford.
Okay, Something like that. Mm-hmm.
You know what happened to him?
What happened?
Somebody in his cabinet when he had all of his his down spiral situation with crack cocaine and everything like that.
Right.
Somebody in his cabinet came out with all of his secrets and published a book. And this is something else. Why are you going to let somebody else pimp your story?
Pain. Yeah.
They pimping your story.
Right.
People right now over the holidays was entertaining other people with your drama.
Mm. Yeah.
You heard what happened to him. You heard what he did and this, that. Nah, homie. Let me take the narrative of my life. Mm-hmm. Let me make it into a comedy special like, Kevin Hart.
Right.
You know what I mean? A Dave Chappelle. Let me pimp my own pain. Let me take the narrative of my own story because everybody want to hear it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? What's the point of you letting people take your issue and pimp it and you just supposed to be a side? You supposed to be an extra? You supposed to be an extra in your own film?
Damn.
I thought you were supposed to be a main character. You just an extra. Okay.
Right.
So the pain has become the main character. Whatever the pain dictates, you just do. And what do extras do? They never speak. They have no voice.
No voice
whatsoever.
You're
just in the back.
You're just in the background.
That's it. In 2022, who are you, man? Are you just an extra?
Mm.
Are you getting pimped?
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't go out no more because I don't talk. You get what I mean? Like, no, don't you pimp that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You find what you can out of that. You mind that situation and you find what you can and you take it on to the next. Like you move on to the next, yo.
Wow.
And that's purpose. You feel me? You got to find purpose in it.
Right.
You know, and moving on to the next, we have different colors, right? We got a couple colors left. We got red. We got yellow. And black is not a color, it's a shade, but it's in the pack. But
right.
So moving forward, we got, we'll go with yellow.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about yellow, I think about Marianne Williamson. Okay. And I think about that poem quote saying where she says, our greatest fear, our deepest fear, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. It's that, you get what I mean?
Look that up. That we are powerful beyond measure.
Yeah. Yeah. Look that up by Marianne Williamson. And what's so deep and powerful about that is this. When I was going to high school, when I would go to high school, and we're talking about, I was supposed to graduate 2005. So it's been a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When I was in high school, whenever we would leave the classroom, they would have to write us a hallway pass.
Okay, yeah.
That hallway pass had to say where you're coming from, where you're going, your name and the teacher's name.
Right.
And the purpose of you exiting the class. Right? You do not need a hallway slip for you to be great. You don't need someone to give you permission to start your YouTube channel, for you to start your candle business, for you to sell your t-shirts. You don't need permission, man. Stop waiting for people to give you permission. You don't need permission.
I'm feeling so attacked right now, bro.
Yo.
No, like, I feel like you're just talking to me. Like, it's just me and you. It's like nobody else. There's no radio. It's just, and telling me, yo, get your ish together, brother. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll take it.
We too often, man, we play ourselves small because we think we need permission.
Right.
And I've went through that. A lot of people went through that imposter syndrome, that, man, but who's going to read my book? But who's going to show up? Who's going to support? I'm going to tell you right now, strangers, that's who's going to support.
Right.
People that you don't even know. And most of the time it's strangers, you know?
Right.
That come through anyway. So there's that. Give yourself permission to be great. Give yourself permission to try. Give yourself permission to fail. And that's why your ego can't be caught up with performance. You feel me? You can't get caught up. Ah, okay, man, I put out my track and no one really listening to it. Do it again. Ask people what they think. See what you can do, because it's a process. And, you know, a lot of people don't give themselves permission because they try to fill in the gap too quick